Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this day of thanks, Harvest Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and best wishes for family events and things that are going on. We had our family event yesterday. It was marvelous. A couple of things before we start. This is the last Sunday in our Indwell campaign to raise $5,000 to help Indwell with their new project, which is kicking off Friday on the old South Street Hospital property. So we set a goal of 5,000. As of last week, we were just a titch under 4,000. So if you could help out, that would be absolutely great. We'll probably extend it for a week or two, just in case you want a little extra time. But we love being part of the Indwell family and love the method and the way that they do things. And Julie is a big part of Indwell, so we are very happy to join together with them on that. The service today is lessons and carols. You know, we mostly associate that with the Christmas season, but we found this last year. And it is a wonderful opportunity to think of Thanksgiving in a slightly different way. Lots of music to it, and we have multiple readers and participants and multiple soloists and all kinds of good things, and it's all right in front of you on the screen. So a quick moment of silence, time to stop and think about what we're thankful for, those good things in our world, in our life, those challenges in our world. This service does not include a homily because I think you'll agree with me when you hear it all, it is a homily in itself. As usual in Anglican circumstances, you stand to sing, and for the rest you may be seated. We'll begin now with the opening hymn. Please be seated. We come to sing the song of Harvest Home, to thank God for the harvest of our gardens and allotments, our fields and farms, bringing food to our tables and meeting many of our physical needs. We celebrate all that is seasonal and local as we enjoy the fruit of the earth in due season. We give thanks for the fertility of the earth and the creativity of our hands in finding new ways to adapt and change in difficult times. We remember any who struggle to put food on the table, who go hungry when the harvest fails, who suffer from extreme and unseasonal weather due to climate change. We thank God, too, for the harvest of our community, our common life together, the harvest of our own deepest selves, our growing towards maturity and wisdom. Through hymns and anthems, readings and prayers, we raise the song of Harvest Home.
Harvest begins with the soil, with increasingly sophisticated tools and machinery, and with the use of fertilizers and chemicals, our attention can be deflected from the core vitality of the soil. We need to rediscover a respect for the soil as the basis for sustainable farming for the long term.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen."
God the sower, may the good news of your love for us find the good soil of our hearts, that we may embrace the changes needed to care for your creation and for one another. May our harvest be sustainable, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Of the environmental crisis, we sometimes feel the problem is too vast for us to make a difference. As individuals, we can easily feel overwhelmed, powerless to bring about change. But each of us can make an impact from small beginnings, from small changes in approach. And a handful of seeds reminds us that great things can grow from tiny seeds. What an encouragement to allow the seed of hope to take root and grow in our lives.
He also said, "The kingdom of God is as someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it was sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade."
God of the mustard seed, from tiny beginnings you bring abundant blessing. Give us wisdom to use your gifts well, to understand the impact of our farming. Give us courage to take even small steps in the face of climate change. Give us generous hearts to share with those who go hungry as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Water is essential for growth. It is the vector for all life. In recent years, we have seen our climate changing with a devastating effect on the impact of water, from scarcity to deluge. Times of drought have led to failed crops. Times of flood have seen homes inundated, where we have built houses on floodplains. Ezekiel's image of the water of life speaks of restored balance, of enough for all, of abundant life, God's vision of a climate in balance where wounds are healed.
He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, and when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En Gedi to En Englem, and it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing."
God of the growing grain of the abundant earth, you have blessed us with fruitful lands, providing more than enough for our needs with plenty to share. Help us to honor you in our care for the land and in the healing of the nations, that the earth may continue to be fruitful as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Oh,
We are sometimes tempted to achieve the maximum yield for short-term profits, but the long-term impact can be devastating for sustainability and biodiversity. We are beginning to recognize the need to take less, to leave more space for nature to flourish. God calls us to be generous and to look to a longer horizon, as well as to notice what other people need. What is true for sustainable farming is also true for sustainable community and family life.
Now, Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I might find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who's in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment.
God of the stranger, we give thanks for the harvest of our community life. We pray for all who give their time freely to build up our shared life, to contribute to the common good. Help us all to think of others and to act for future generations. May we be like Ruth, working not just for ourselves, but building bridges of trust that cross the boundaries of difference as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Our planet is rich and fertile, and we have enormous resources to meet our needs, provided we are willing to share. Yet much of our economic life is couched in terms of scarcity and an underlying worry that there might not be enough to go around. The psalmist reminds us of the abundance of nature's provision, enough for everyone and plenty to share.
you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. To you that hear prayer shall all flesh come, because of their transgressions.
Generous God, in love, you have created the universe. In abundance, you have provisioned our world. In hope, you have called us to know you. Open our eyes to your wonders. Open our minds to your mystery. Open our hearts to your love, that we might find the path of thanksgiving as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
The act of offering comes from a sense of gratitude and of partnership. We offer something to God and to the wider community to give thanks for all we have received. But are we losing the instinct for offering? What's mine is mine. In a world of self-made people, there can be a sense of entitlement, and we can lose sight of the need to give and the need to give thanks.
The Lord spoke to Moses. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land that I am giving you and you reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall raise the sheaf before the Lord so that you may find acceptance. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall raise it. On the day when you raise the sheaf, you shall offer a lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Lord. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat no bread or parched grain or fresh ears until that very day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your settlements.
God of our first fruits, give us thankful hearts in this time of gathering. Grant us a generosity of spirit to provide for those who go hungry. May we offer you the first fruits of our lives, the very best that we have, that we in turn may become a blessing as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Enough, enough. The gap between the highest earners and those on low wages or benefits has never been greater. We live in a world of billionaires and beggars. But such evident inequality leads to resentment and social instability. Can there be another way? A way of sharing resources more fairly so that there's enough for all?
Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had great compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 people, besides women and children.
God of abundance and plenty, where we create scarcity and need through our narrow self-interest and greed, break us open to find in you a generosity of spirit and willingness to share as we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
God's vision for humanity is not one where some have everything, living with lavish excess, while many go hungry. In God's kingdom, there is provision for everyone, with restoration and healing for all who have been excluded or forgotten. Can we make our Harvest Festival a foretaste of that kingdom?
O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain.
God of the feast, give us eyes to see your kingdom in our midst. A table prepared for all, rich food and wine, with oil to gladden the human heart, where all are included, where none are left outside. As we follow in the footsteps of your Son Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen.
Jesus shared bread with all sorts of people as a sign of God's acceptance and love. He asked us to remember him every time we break bread. God is in the business of making bread, the bread of community. We are the yeast, the leaven in the lump. The way we live can change the world if we can dare to believe that God is with us.
So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that may we see it and believe in you? What works are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives to me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day."
Loving God, you provide enough for everyone. This earth is fertile, fruitful, and abundant. But we are sometimes greedy, wasteful, and selfish. Many go hungry despite our plenty. Many are left outside while we enjoy a feast. Lord Jesus, bread of life, break us open to your promised kingdom. Give us hearts to gather and to share. As we follow in the footsteps of your Son, Jesus, Lord of the harvest. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Generous God, we thank you that time after time, in the most surprising places, you spread a table for us and welcome us to the feast of your presence. Sometimes we feel like amazed guests at a banquet, a great celebration. Sometimes we meet you at a kitchen table among friends, sharing daily bread. Sometimes as children enjoying a picnic, laughing, singing in the sunshine. Sometimes in a dark valley, on a hard journey, by the barbed wire, bread is broken. Always we find nourishment, always enough for all who come. We see that no one is ever turned away, and always we are blessed by sharing. This is the gospel feast. Thank you for such good food, giving strength to do your work in the world, and for your welcome at our journey's end. Amen.
Just before the blessing, some thank yous. First, to Jerry and John and Julie for their assistance in the liturgy this morning as readers and intercessors. It's greatly appreciated. To Steve and the choir, awesome doesn't seem to cut it, but that's the word that comes to mind. Thank you for the gift of music. And I want to say thank you on this Thanksgiving Day to somebody that many of you probably don't even know. He hides kind of back up there behind a screen. But John Gardy is the person who has allowed us to be online, to live stream. He's the one who edits the services so that they're a little shorter when you listen to them in the afternoon. Takes out our mistakes and all those things. So thanks to John for all the hard work that he does. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, those that you love, those that love you. Keep us in thanks forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace and thanksgiving to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.